We turn together now to page 324 as we take consideration of the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. Thus far, our text for consideration this morning, including the reading from the Gospel in Matthew chapter 22. It's good to be here with you this morning. Pastor Schaff and I have known each other for many years, and the opportunity to preach at his church has only come up two times since seminary, and it is indeed a pleasure to be with the saints here today. As Christians, we often lament how little people actually pray. So often we see people only praying when things seem to be mounting or things begin to bother them. That's better than not praying at all. Because sometimes God sets the stage for prayer by undercutting whatever foundations that we have built in our lives. And when we face suffering, we become willing to bring our troubles to God in prayer. No doubt you have heard that Jesus teaches us how to perfectly pray as he gives us the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer covers every single topic that can be had in this world. It encompasses every need. There is nothing there that should not belong there. And if we could learn to pray this prayer perfectly and this prayer alone, we would indeed be masters of praying. So what then of the sixth petition? We know that each of the petitions connects us to the cross of Christ, his death, and his resurrection. And so we must know that the Christian's cross, the burdens that we bear in this world, are incomprehensible unless we can understand them in the midst of Christ's cross. For without the suffering of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our suffering is pointless. In fact, our suffering is cruel and of no benefit to us. It is only if Jesus has suffered for us that our suffering can be good. Thanks be to God, then, that Jesus did suffer for our sins. Thanks be to God that Jesus suffered for our redemption. Jesus suffered to set us free from the burden of guilt that we bear. He suffered and he died for you on the cross. And he was the firstborn raised from the dead in order that you would be raised from the dead as well. In Jesus Christ's suffering, your suffering and mine has meaning. His suffering sanctifies our suffering because his suffering takes away our sin and our guilt. And if we suffer as guilty sinners, we suffer what we deserve to suffer. And if God is punishing us, how then can we cry out to him as our loving Father who wants nothing but good for us? If we think that our suffering signifies God's displeasure with us, we will run away from God when we suffer. And so it is that we are reminded on this day and all days as we come into our Lord's church that the Lord is not angry with us and wishes and indeed commands us to pray to him, to come to him with our petition. And we consider today the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. And Jesus has taught us to pray this because he promises to hear us, and he knows also temptation like we have faced. After his baptism, He was tempted by the devil himself, but he was not tempted to sin. Christ stood fast on the word and the promise of God, as you and I do. And standing on God's word and promise, we then stand against temptation. God commands us to pray. Lead us not into temptation. And he has promised both to hear us and to grant our prayer. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, for temptation attacks our faith. Temptation leads us to deny God's word, to twist it, to ignore it, to run away from it, and to distrust the promises of God. And so we pray that God would deliver us from temptation, that we may know that we are praying with Jesus, who endured the greatest human struggle in history, and know that we pray the very words that Christ himself has taught us. And really, this petition fits in quite nicely with our text for today. Because Jesus actually draws up comparisons and invites us to compare different kingly characteristics. The sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer applies to us today. Lead us not into temptation, but it's a really kind of an interesting temptation. It's the temptation to only see a king that we want to see. Because in the parable, Jesus presents really different kingly characteristics. He presents both a loving and a gracious and inviting king, but he also presents to us a king that is not safe to be around. In the hearing of the text, one might have trepidations about what kind of a king we have. Whether it's one that sends out more servants or one that is looking to actually put people to death and into outer darkness. It may be difficult then to reconcile a generous king who has a wedding dinner ready and a king who burns cities and people to the ground. And as Pastor Schaff read today, as the closing of the parable comes to us, many are called, but few are chosen. It really only then makes the parable all the more ominous. But I think it helps us to remember what was going on in the text. There were individuals that had been invited, who had refused the invitation and were quite offensive in their own right, and they were invited not just once, but multiple times. They killed the king's servants, and that was a pretty serious act of rebellion, and refused then to wear the clothes that the king had graciously given to them, which was a very high act of treason. And so maybe then the king is not really as bad as we might think, as he punishes those who have gone against what he has commanded. But that doesn't really give us much reassurance either. The king in our text, the parable that is given to us today, Jesus invites us and indeed places before our very eyes not just a king, but the king. And unfortunately, the picture that's painted of the king in our text for today is not a very rosy picture. For we are often tempted to prefer the patient and generous and giving God. And God certainly is this. But what of the putting to death, the burning the cities, and throwing out into outer darkness? That kind of God sounds terrible. And in our sin, and because of our sin, we are tempted away from the wrathful God and desire only to hear how God has patience and is nice and is gentle. And we are tempted because we can deal with that kind of God. We are tempted because we can make deals with that kind of God. And we can bargain with that kind of God. The kind of God that we can pull one over on. The other king in today's parable, not so much. He is wild and he reacts a little too strongly. And one thing is certain, he cannot be tamed. And so then, thanks be to God that God is not a God who only has patience for us. Thanks be to God that Christ is not just generous with comfortable gifts. And thanks be to God that we have a King who will give us and will present and say things to us that will make us uncomfortable. For God is not to be mocked, and He is the very King that goes to war to put the death of the sinful Adam, put to death the sin in the old Adam that lives in us. Thanks be to God that Christ does not pat us on the back and allow us to stay immersed in our sin forever. Thanks be to God that He is mighty and strong and powerful, and He comes to save us from the very foes that seek our eternal destruction. It is uncomfortable to have a God that is not tame. But it is good to know that God will wildly charge in His anger into battle against your sin and death and this world. God is not safe, but He does fight for you. He even stands against the wickedness that is in you. He even stands against your own sin and depravity, but He does so in order to put to death the old sinful man that is in each one of us, and that's terrifying to think about. But that is exactly the God that we need. We need the God who will destroy the murderous sinner in us. We need Christ to burn down the cities in which our sinful flesh sets up its temples. And we need God to burn down the idols that we falsely worship. We need to have our sinful selves thrown out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need the old Adam in us dead. And our Lord is the only one who does that. Because it is the very parts of our King that make us uneasy that are the parts that conquer sin, death, and the devil. The anger and the outrage of God is for you. It is Christ fighting on your behalf. And even when it is you who have rejected God's invitation, even when it is you or I that have abused God's servants and refused God's good gifts, because that sin in us must die. And so it is that we pray out to that God, Lord, have mercy upon us. Come against us, O Lord. Because even though you kill the wrath and hatred and mercilessness, impatience and sin in us, you raise the dead to life in you. You see, today our Lord reminds us that it is we who are the unworthy and invited guests in the parable. And it is in baptism that we have died to sin and the death in us. It is in baptism that the King has drowned all evil that would seize and lead us to eternal damnation. Our King kills all that is undesirable, everything that would separate us from Him, and He does it by simple means. He drowns sinners in baptism, but He does not leave us dead, but raises us to new life that is rich in grace, a life with a new identity. You are the ones clothed in righteousness for the very wedding feast of the Lamb and His kingdom. You are given His perfection. And so we consider the sixth petition. I went to page 2. I should go to page 4. You are prepared for the feast. Many are called, and you are chosen. You who have been God's, you have been given God's promise through His water and the Word, and you have been given this through the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. The king may put to death, but he also gives resurrection. And that kind of resurrection takes Christ's resurrection. Because without Christ's cross, without his resurrection, there is no good news. But Christ is risen. And therefore, since we know that Christ has been raised from the dead and will never die again, death no longer has dominion over him. And if death no longer has dominion over him, then it has no dominion over you. For the resurrection is the foundation of our faith. The resurrection is the reason that we are bold to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." The resurrection has changed everything. The resurrection floods the world of death and wrath and rage and anger and sin with the reality of these things drowned and dead. God raises us in Him. And once raised, we will never die again. The unsafe king who destroys cities and people of his kingdom makes sense. And now the invitation to anyone passing on the road, whether good or evil, makes sense. Because through resurrection, sin is left for dead. And through the resurrection, the wedding hall can be full. For our king does not kill for vengeance, but rather so that sin and death in us would die, and that we might live in Christ's resurrection now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever in Him. Amen. We stand together now as we sing our offertory on page 192.